I was sitting back there after Brother Dan had come in, and I told him when he come in, I was wondering why he's having such a hard time finding anything this morning. I guess it's because he was going to be here. But I've just been looking at the book of Ephesians. And if you'll bear with me, I'd like this morning to take the first sentence out of each chapter. We'll start off where it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. He didn't call himself. No minister does. I think most of them try to do just about like Moses did. I have no voice. I can't talk. I stutter. All kind of excuses, but it just won't work. And then I was looking at the letter is to the saints which are at Ephesus. I guess that's where it got its name, Book of Ephesus, from. But if you read on, it says, to the faithful in Christ, the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Maybe I think that's what I got out of that one time when an old preacher took his finger and he said, let me tell you something right now. Anything I tell you is three more pointing back at me. I ain't no better than nobody else. So before you go pointing your finger at somebody else, look at them other three that's pointing right back at you. Which tells you that you also, by nature, were the children of wrath, even as others. So just because the poor fella down the road's doing the best he can with what he's got and trying to worship Jesus, don't throw rocks at him. Don't tell him how stupid he is. Don't tell him you wished he could understand your God. You realize he's too dumb to, but it's got nothing to do with it. How many times have you seen somebody that worked entirely different job to what you did, but you could find common ground to talk about? You see, all denominations, you've got one common ground. His name's Jesus Christ. That's something you can talk about. You might disagree on what he done, but very few people's going to disagree with you that he is the Savior. Now, I know the world likes to say, look what I done. I saved 15 souls and I done this. Well, if you did, they're going to die when you did. You see, we have a Savior that don't die. Somebody said, but he did one time. If you stop and think, as Brother Ed Smith said the other day, he says, all the thing I'm going to do is lay this body down and keep going. Do you not know when eternal life started? What you mean? Before the foundation of the world, God chose you to be his child. Jesus Christ died for you that you might have eternal life. He done the paying of the price to take you home. And everything Christ paid for, he gonna take home. But you look over in Revelation, it says on such the second death has no power. What does that mean? It means you ain't gonna die. You're going to lay this old tabernacle down. It's a house. It's something we walk around in here. It's not you. Well, how would I know Dan Hall if he didn't look like Dan Hall? Tell you what, when you get down to Dan Hall's feet in a communion service, all of a sudden he don't look like Dan Hall no more. All of a sudden he looks like my Lord and Master. And when I'm the one sitting down and he's at my feet, I feel just like old Peter did when he said, not my feet. Lord, thou shalt never wash me. But then he had God said, if I wash you not, you have no part with me. Well, then just wash me all over, Lord. It don't matter. I mean, go right ahead. You see, in that day, the Jews never lowered themselves, nor required a Jewish slave that was a Jew to wash anybody's feet. From what I read and understand, it was only the Gentile slaves that might do it when they had to. But here's my Lord and Master going down at his feet in love. Somebody said, well, you know, I would be in that service, but I just don't feel worthy. You know what? That's right. You ain't. You never will be. But when you're there just like old Peter was when he told Paul, I told Christ, thou shalt not wash my feet. But if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. And wash me all over, Lord. That's exactly what he's already done. He said, them that have been cleaned need not but their feet to be washed. What does that mean? I know I'm scattering all over everywhere. Just hang on. We'll get there. But it's just so great when we can see just what God has done for us. When we stop and realize that we ain't no better than nobody else on account of us. But it's all on account of Jesus Christ. Makes it a whole lot easier to talk to that Seventh-day Adventist that thinks he's got the best day. I challenge you to find a day of the week in here, Monday through Sunday, that tells you this is the day we're supposed to worship. I know we call it the Lord's Day, first day of the week, but really and truly, if you met on Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock, would it make any difference? I know the old Baptist got in a big argument way back yonder. Conference had to be at 11 o'clock on Saturday and no other time. Because if you made it 2 o'clock, you'd departed the faith and they wasn't going to speak to you. Who made the clock? I have some folks that tell me that the world wasn't created in 7 days. But my Bible tells me the evening and the morning were the first day. Are you telling me that from sun up to sundown is 10,000 years? Sometimes it feels like it. But it seems like it. God set everything on a 24-hour cycle. It comes up and it goes down. And if you'll notice, it even started off in darkness. Just like we did right here. You were sometimes darkness. But now you have Jesus Christ, you have the light. Walk as children of the light. For this cause I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. How many Jews are in here today? I don't think we got many. I think we're all what would be considered as a Gentile. You see, we have a whole lot of trouble with races nowadays. Back in the Old Testament, they didn't. You was either a Jew or you was a Gentile. You ever notice it didn't matter what color your skin was? It was who your daddy was. You know what? It don't matter today. It's who your daddy is. Who's your heavenly father? Now, wait a minute. You know they got them Muslims over there. They don't believe in God. Well, maybe they ain't got the same daddy we got. But I got news for you. They didn't choose him. We didn't choose him. He chose us. And I'm not going to say that the Muslims are not children of God. I don't know. I wouldn't give that authority. But it's just wonderful when we can look out at the congregation and see God's children. Now, if you want to know who's going to hell, that's real easy. That's them other folks over yonder. It ain't my family. them folks over there going to say? We're all going to heaven. Y'all are all going to hell. You ever notice ain't nobody in your family ever going to go to hell? That's always somebody else. But God didn't tell you one. Because what would the world be like if you was to know? I can tell you three that's going to be there. Bible says so. So the devil and his angels. So there is a hell, and there's three of them going to be there. If anybody ever tells you there ain't no hell, there's an eternal hell, and there's a whole bunch of timely hells. Get your wife mad at you. See if you don't pay for a little while. I mean, there's so many ways that I can open my mouth and get me in trouble. Sometimes I just wonder if it would be better to be quiet. To the Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelations he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words, whereby when we read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in our ages, which in other ages have not been made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostle and prophets by the Spirit. That the Gentiles, this is a long sentence, that Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers with a promise in Jesus by the gospel. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. What's the mystery? What was the big mystery that's been hidden? Is it not the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is it not the fact that he died for you? He saved you. Not only you, but everyone the Father gave him. That's the big mystery. What, don't everybody know that? No. Even today, not everybody realizes that Jesus Christ has paid the price that you couldn't pay. You ain't got to work your way to heaven and you couldn't get there. Because as Marty Smith said on a little tape I read, I was listening to the other day and it stuck for some reason. Foolish things do, I think. He said, it's sort of like when Dorothy met the Cheshire Cat. She says, which way do I go? He says, where are you going? She says, I don't know. He said, then it don't matter. If you don't know where you're going, it don't really matter how you're going. You ain't going to get there. If you don't know that Jesus Christ paid the price for you, and it don't depend on you to get to eternal heaven, how you going to die in peace and joy if you think you got to work yourself there? Remembering when Christ held that mirror up in front of you to start with, and you saw yourself lost and undone. A one-way road, it looked like. He heard this gospel, this mystery, that yes, he has come, and he has saved us. It's just so beautiful. You just can't explain it. And when somebody first sees it, they won't explain it to everybody. And it's so plain and clear to them, they can't understand why don't nobody always understand it when they sit down to talk to them. 2 weeks ago, they didn't. But now their eyes have been opened. They have light. But you can't share it. The only ones you can share it with is ones that's already had the light given to them. Now sometimes we walk around and we got light and we act like we don't. We willfully walk in darkness. That's no good either. Now go to the fourth chapter. It says, wherefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you. Wherefore, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of your vocation wherein you're called, with all meekness, lowliness, and meekness, and long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in bonds of peace. I remember seeing the word endeavor. And I don't know why, but you remember way back yonder, they had this old Indian. It said, I went to Washington and they told me to endeavor, to persevere. Hey, what we got to do? It says, endeavor to keep the peace and love one with another. If you're in law, lowliness, and meekness, it don't mean somebody's walking over you. It just means that you're putting a brother before yourself. You're looking over him for good and not evil. And when he misses a Sunday, you don't call him up and say, where were you? I made it. How come you didn't? You don't know his circumstances. You haven't walked in his shoes. And you certainly haven't shown the love of Christ, as we're told to do. Daily we're supposed to walk in a way of looking over one another for good. Not just letting them walk over you. We've got a God that's all powerful. When he speaks, it's done. I told Brother Dan, sure, I'll be at Delano for you. Back of my head, these things going, if everything goes all right. If it don't rain too hard, if the creek don't rise, if this don't happen, that don't happen, I'll be there. Because we don't have the power that our Heavenly Father does. When he says it's done, it's already done. Or we can say, if God be willing. And I got thinking about that phrase. I've heard it over and over and over again. If the Lord's willing, I'll be there. You reckon the Lord wouldn't be willing for me to be there? The circumstances might get in the way. But I don't think the Lord will ever keep you from going to service to worship him. I mean, I get a little crazy things running in my brain every once in a while, but you just stop and you think, that just don't make good nonsense. If the Lord would be willing if I go to church, is that not what he's told me to do? You go over in Romans and it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. If God's willing, it don't fit. Never has. Lord's willing. Are we able? Is the problem. It falls back on me being able to do something. Am I able to put Christ the center of my life and everything else have to go around it? Am I able to say it's Sunday morning? I'll see you at 1 o'clock. I got services to go to first. I know, but we're going to have a family reunion. It's going to start at 9:30. Like I said, I'll be there at 1 o'clock. But everybody's going to be leaving, going home. I'll wave bye to them. I'll be there at 1 o'clock. It don't take many times like that till people say, well, we're going to have a reunion and we're going to meet it. Well, you know, so-and-so going to church. They ain't going to be here at 1 o'clock. They ain't no need in trying to start at 9:30. They ain't going to be here. Then what happens? Then not only are you putting Christ as your center and everything you do goes around it, but you might save your mothers and your brothers because they might start making it their center and they might start going around it too. Just because of me, if they want to see me, They want to see my Lord. I'd just be tickled to death for them to go to church with me. As the Kegel reunion over, it's going to be end of the month. They put it in their little letter when they mailed it out. It's going to be at Boiling Springs Church. Come go to church. We'll have a reunion afterwards. Great. We'll be glad to have it. Anytime we have somebody come, we'll be tickled to death. If they join the Lonega Church, that's good. They're in the house of God. Do I come up and tell Brother Dan, I'm mad at you because you got my member? Was he mine to start with? No. Was he a child of God? Yep. Who directed him to go where he goes? When you have a member come up and say, I'd like to have a home in the church if y'all will let me. We do something that I've always wondered about. It's the brother, and you've heard what the man's got to say. What have you got to say? Have you got to say? If the Lord sent you another member to your body, can you really say, I don't think the Lord sent him? We shouldn't receive him. And then I think of that over there where it says, if you offend one of these my little ones, it'd be better if you were thrown in the ocean. What can I say? I'd rather receive 15 dozen that come for the wrong reason, that don't stay but 2 weeks and don't come back, than I had to run off one of God's little ones that's wanting a home, that needs a place, needs a family, needs somebody to hold him tight. And say, I understand it. You know the ones that can help you the most is the ones that walk the same road you're walking. I had my heart bypass. Brother Clayton had his about a year ahead of me. I don't know if many of you remember, but there for a while, Brother Clayton just quit preaching altogether. You couldn't get a hold of nothing. He said, they just, everybody's against me. Things don't go right. It ain't working right. But when I had mine, he said, just hang on. There's light at the end of the tunnel. I done been down that road ahead of you. You're going to get depressed. You're going to get down. Ain't nothing right. You don't even know if you're going in the right direction. But just hang on. There's one thing that don't change. Go to your Bible. Look at God. Every time you read it, he's the same God. Can't get it to come out no more like I used to. Can't pull up some of them texts that I used to be able to pull up. Seemed like it was right at the end of your fingers, you just had them. And now they're just out of reach. You know, over there in just a little bit out of reach. And then there's other times that the Lord get with you and you can grab a hold to them so quick till you can't hardly get them out and you don't know where they come from. A little sister of mine asked me one time, said, are you studying to preach? I said, no, honey. I don't know what I'm going to preach. I'm just trying to load the computer. I'm trying to study. I'm trying to look at God's Word. That when He starts on the type board, there'll be something that'll come up. Remember this, remember this, remember this. Oh yeah. It'll pop right up just like a computer works so great. If you put something in it. But if you've never looked at your Bible, you've never read it, when the preacher sometimes says, you remember John 3:16? Say, no, preacher, but I'll go there right quick. But if you go home and you study it and you read the book of John, next time he says, remember John 3:16? You're going to feel real good because you say, yeah, I know where he's at. Let me get over there right quick because I want to read it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, got a TH on the end. Wondered why. It changes things from just now doing it to already done it. It's past perfect tense, they tell me in English. I don't know that much about English, But I know that Jesus Christ has done saved you. It don't depend on you believing Him in order to get there. You got it. Just like you woke up when you was about this big and you had a mama and a daddy. And you didn't say, I don't want that one. I want this one over here. It's too late. It's already done. You're a child of God and there's nothing you can do about it. It's too late. You can't undo it. You can't say, but I don't want to walk that way. I want to go this way. Don't work. We've got a God that's able to let you get out here and get in things you shouldn't ought to get into, make you wish you'd never seen them. We've got a God that sometimes when you come to church, you got your mind on things of the world. You leave out, you start home, and you say, I didn't get a thing out of church. Dad should have just stayed home. I know it's windy and it's raining. Wasn't no need in going nohow. What'd you come for? You come to show him your coat, your new hat? What a great sermon you got? Or did you come to worship Jesus Christ? The one that's already give you everything you've got. And more. It's just so great. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Fifth chapter. How great it is when you walk into a church or get to a church and just feel the love outside. As one of the brothers said last week, it's the only place I know that you can drive 900 miles. Go into church, hear the same thing you hear at home, and have a brother's hand stuck out, wanting you to go home with him. You ain't never seen him before. You don't even know what his name is or where he lives. You just have gotten to town. But he wants you to go home with him. Or else he'll tell you, been there so many of you, my brother's out of town, here's the keys. You can use this house. He don't worry about you taking things out and going back to Georgia with them. They just say, here's the keys. Now, where else are you going to find a bunch of people like that except among the old Baptists? I mean, it just don't make good nonsense to hand somebody you ain't ever seen your keys or your brother's house keys and tell them, have anything you want. Unless you're mad at your brother. But you can travel. And if you ain't been nowhere, you missed out on a lot. Somebody said, well, you know, I got to be home on Sunday. That's all right. We come to the end of a season, seemingly like, that you just missed. They call it cessation time. They got churches in Oklahoma, Missouri, Nebraska, every state in the United States. Most of them. There are a lot of them right around the area here, within 50 to 75 miles of where you live at. You can go there on Friday. But I got to work. The Lord can't take care of me. We'll go on Saturday. I got golf on Saturday. Well, just when do you plan on worshiping the Lord? Oh, at least one day a week. Maybe. I hope to be there Sunday. If it don't rain. Just how much do we keep God as the center of our life? How much do we really want to see our brothers and sisters in the Spirit? That love. That when a person comes into your church and they sit down and you shake their hand, you hug their neck, you make them feel at home, And they go back and somebody says, heard you went to church. How'd they treat you over here? He said, you wouldn't believe it. If I told you, you wouldn't believe it no how. Them folks acted like they was tickled to death to see me. But you got long hair. It didn't matter to them. But you got tattoos up both your arms. Yeah, they looked at me a little funny to start with. But they hugged my neck anyway. They asked me to come back. They got something over there ain't nobody else got. And you know what? There's something strange happened over there. I got a desire to go back. For what? I don't know, but it's always good. So when you want to teach, you want to show them Jesus Christ. Be ye therefore followers of God as children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice. Then we get to this last one, which is the sixth chapter. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I got news for y'all, Delonica. Y'all got a whole bunch of children here. You accepted them as a member into your body. To teach them. To admonish them. To lead them. To guide them. The mothers are to teach. The older ladies are to teach the young ladies how to love their husbands. The men are to teach the younger men. And we're all to be subject one to another. Thus walking forward and endeavoring to keep that unity one with the other. Showing forth that love of Jesus Christ. That is just beyond all explained. But he didn't tell you to teach them the Bible. Did you ever think about that? What did he tell the mad Gadarean that wanted to go with him? He says, go back home and tell them what good things God has done for you. Now, do you know what God's done for you? Then tell somebody else. But I don't know how to say it like Brother Preacher does. He got chapter and verse. You have too. On the ninth day of October, when I was down in the dumps, and I went down on my knees to my Lord, I said, hit me. God, hit me. That's about the best prayer there ever was. Just God, hit me. Show me what to do. Show me how to walk. And I might hold your name up before somebody. Give me somebody to talk to. Give me somebody to explain that Jesus Christ has paid the price. Let me tell them that there's a bunch over there in Dahlonega that love me more than my brothers and sisters do. Come and see. I know what they do for me. Come and see what they can do for you. And you know what? They've got an elder brother that done it all. I thank you. Come on, brother.